Okay, well, hi everyone. Sorry for all the... Oh, that's awesome. So I'm just kind of responding. Lori Boosfield, who I registered last night, invited one of her colleagues. So welcome. My name is Jen Golden, and I am the past president of Braille Literacy Canada. And first, I want to thank you all for joining us. We're all in the midst of crazy times, and so we at Braille Literacy Canada wanted to come up with ways that we could help people out as they're sort of learning from home now instead of being at school. So what's going to happen, and again, bear with the technological glitches. We're trying to protect this meeting from being Zoom bombed. Dogs and alarm and grandfather clocks don't count. So what we're going to do, I think maybe we'll just mute everybody but the presenters. Kim, if you could do
that. Yeah, I'll mute everybody.
Just so that no one, you don't have to worry about what's going on in your kitchen if your kids are...
So when I do that, Daphne, can you put your hand up so it's easy for me to find you to unmute you?
I think I can unmute myself.
Okay, so I'm going to mute everybody now, and then Jen, I guess, and Natalie and Daphne will unmute yourselves.
And we'll
so
continue.
I will do so. Okay. Mute all. Yeah.
Okay. Can everyone hear me? I know only a couple of you can actually answer, so I'm going to make the assumption that... thank you, Danielle. Perfect. Okay. So, we wanted to put together something that we could... do. Great. Great. Thank you. That's what I want to hear. Or see, actually, because it's in the chat. Thank you, Dwyla. Dwyla is one of our board members, and she's also a TVI. And so basically, as I said, we wanted to put something together that could be a resource. We're also posting a bunch of resources on our Facebook page. And I will introduce our fearless leader, our president, she will kind of take it from there. But basically, what we're going to do is Natalie will speak for a few minutes, and then Daphne is going to come on. Daphne Hitchcock is, I'm doing this all in the wrong order, but Natalie Martiniello is our current president, and Daphne Hitchcock is our vice president, and she is also a TVI, retired, but now back to work, if I understand correctly. So Daphne's got all kinds of resources and ideas. So we're going to, after Natalie speaks, then she's going to hand things over to Daphne. We will have time for questions as well. And I'm just going to sort of hand it over to Natalie, and then things will go from there. But when we do have a question time, unless Natalie and Daphne sort of have something else planned, what we'll do is we'll have people raise your hand in the Zoom window. So you can either click on the button, you can Alt Y is the keyboard command if you want to use that, and when the time comes, Kim will tell you where it is on the iPhone. I don't use the app very often, but there is a way to raise your hand there as well. So we'll do have people raise their hands just so that we can kind of keep things somewhat so we don't all get too jumbled. So with that, I'm going to hand things over to Natalie.
All right. Thank you, Jen. Am I muted?
No.
Okay, that's good. All right. Okay, so thanks everyone for joining us today. As Jen mentioned, these are very strange and unusual circumstances. And as you will have seen from different emails that we've sent over the past few weeks, the board, the BLC board has really been thinking about what can we do as volunteers to support our members and the Canadian Braille community, even in small ways during this time. And we've been pulling our resources together as Braille readers, as teachers, as transcribers. But I also know that we have a lot of expertise among our members and non-members as well. And so I want to encourage all of you. We're sharing resources today. But if you have resources as well, or ideas, or anything you'd like us to share, we'd be happy to do that. And we can send an email or a social media post to everyone. And that could be a really effective way to share Braille and education-related resources during this time. So reach out to us if we can be of help. And I have to say that I've been really inspired to see how creative teachers have been over the past few weeks and how quickly, not just in our field, but just I feel in education as a whole, how quickly teachers have come together to make things work. I know I'm not the only one here who knows this, who's experienced this over the past few weeks, but, you know, trying to teach virtually during a pandemic is not the same as normal virtual teaching. It's not the same as normal distance education. These are stressful times for everyone. And so we just hope that the resources we provide will be helpful. So I'm going to only talk for a few minutes. And I've divided my talk into three short sections. So what I'd like to do first is just provide a little bit of an overview of some of our current BLC programs and projects that might be especially helpful to parents and educators during this time. And many of you may be aware of these programs already, but I know that we have some new members and non-members here as well, so it's worth reviewing some of those. Then I'll talk a little bit about the BLC COVID response and some of the things we've initiated over the past few weeks. And then I'll provide a really quick overview of some of the resources we've been sharing on our social media pages over the past few weeks and where you can go to find those before turning it over to Daphne, who I know has a lot of really concrete ideas to share with you. Okay. So BLC offers a whole bunch of different benefits and programs that are of interest to Braille users and educators and professionals of different kinds. Individual membership is $20 per year, but we also have family and corporate membership options. So you can write to us at info@blc-lbc.ca or visit us at BrailleLiteracyCanada.ca to learn more about that. And these are just some highlights of what we offer that may be helpful to you, especially right now. We have bi-monthly teleconferences on Braille-related topics. And these are workshops that are organized by our Braille Promotions Committee. We try to kind of cycle through topics that are of interest to different member categories, whether you're a teacher, transcriber, or a user. So, for example, we've had workshops on Braille across the lifespan or Braille technology in the 21st century or how to do UEB math and things like that. So we try to cover a bunch of different topics. And these are all recorded as well. So that's a resource that we have, and we're always happy to have any suggestions as well for those workshops. The Teaching and Learning Committee offers a series of workshops, virtual workshops that are of interest specifically to TVIs and educators. And so this is a really good way to stay up to date while you're working from home or while you're stuck at home, and to network with other teachers as well. A few weeks ago, we had a really successful workshop on Braille and ESL learners, which we have a recording for as well. And so that's something else that may be helpful to teachers out there and parents. BLC also publishes a newsletter every 2 months. And we started this a few years ago. And in the beginning, it was a very short publication. We send this directly to our members by email. But over the past year or two, I find that it's really grown. So they're always a lot longer than we think they're going to be when we prepare these issues. And so there's a lot of information in each of those issues on Braille events and Braille related news from around the world and the country, announcements from BLC, and as well as articles written by different people. You can also submit an article as well if there's a resource you want to share or an event you'd like other teachers, parents, users to know about. And just so that you know, we also have a partnership with CELA, where you can receive these new newsletters in hard copy Braille. That's currently not available just because of the pandemic, but usually you can have those sent to you. The other program, this will be of interest to teachers and parents, and I really want to make sure that everyone knows about this if you don't already, and that's the Braille or Bounce program. So this was something that was started a few years ago by Myra Rodriguez. And what we do is we repair and we rehome unused Braillers. And we've rehomed over 50 Braillers already to date. And you can donate a Brailler, or you can have your name added to the recipient waiting list. And this could be really good for teachers and parents to know about, because it could be that your student has, for example, a Brailler at school, but not at home. And so they would be eligible for this initiative. So if you have a student who does not have a Brailler, you can write to us and we can have them added to the waiting list. We're not currently likely able to send out a Brailler right now. I think that depends on a bunch of different things given the current circumstance, but write to us anyways and we'll do whatever we can and we'll get something to you as soon as we can. We occasionally have in the Brailler Bounce program, we occasionally receive donations of special Braillers. So for example, we've had a jumbo Brailler in the past, we've had a smart Brailler. So if your student has a specific need and you're looking for a specific type of Brailler, it's worth mentioning it just in case we have something that you're looking for. So always mention that as well. We also have the Eating More program, which you may have heard about recently because we've been sending out emails about it. And this is where we provide funding to support transcribers, people pursuing Braille courses to become transcribers or educators in Canada. And this also applies to people who are already in those fields but taking courses to advance in their fields. And the deadline to apply, we've actually extended it in light of everything that's been happening. So the deadline is April 24th. And if you'd like the application or more information about that, you can write to us at info@blc-lbc.ca. Finally, I wanted to let you know about the UEB listserv. And so this is an email mailing list that we have where you can ask any of your UEB transcription or code-related questions. So if you have a code-related question, you're just not sure how to transcribe something, that would be a good place to reach a lot of people who know that kind of stuff and can help you. So those are just some of the projects we run. Feel free to ask us about any of them afterwards. I'll just move on to our COVID response right now. So you may have seen that we sent out an email a few weeks ago, and we're doing a few things to try to help in some small ways. We're mailing a list of resources for parents and teachers to maintain Braille-related skills at home. We've already provided some of that through our newsletter, but after this workshop, you'll get other resources as well. We also have on our Facebook and Twitter pages, we've created a new hashtag called 6.strong. And if you search for that hashtag, on Facebook, or if you find our Facebook or Twitter pages, you'll see that we've been sharing all kinds of home learning related resources specifically related to literacy that you can find there. And so using that hashtag can be a quick way to find all of them in one list. And one of the other things we've initiated is the Braille Zoomers group. Now this is for adult Braille learners, but the reason I'm mentioning it is because some of your students, I know some of you may work with older students, 18 years, 19 years, maybe just starting college. If you have an older student, this is a program to support adult Braille learners. So what we have is a virtual get together. We've hosted our first one this past weekend for adult Braille learners to network and share resources. And we're looking at other ways to support them by providing them with Braille starter kits with items that they could use as new Braille learners, as well as a listserv and possibly other pen pal programs and things that we're looking into. So if you know of adult Braille learners, feel free to send them our way or to let them know about what we're doing. And so now what I'll do is I'll just quickly turn to the final section I wanted to cover, which is some of the resources we've been sharing that are especially useful for teachers and parents. So the first one, and I can't mention all of them because we've really been posting a lot lately, but just a few highlights. The first one is an article that we posted, I think yesterday, and it was all about homeschooling tips with the help of UDL. So UDL is Universal Design for Learning, which many of you may know about already. It's a concept that's really based on flexible learning and drawing on students' interests and flexible ways of expressing and representing and evaluating what you learn. And so this is a really interesting article to kind of get your creativity going. And the teacher who wrote it talked about the usefulness of project-based learning. So finding out what your students are interested in or what your children are interested in at home. It could be spaceships. It could be grocery shopping. I don't know why a kid would be interested in that, but it's possible. It could be anything, really. Finding out what they're interested in and then coming up with some kind of activity to help them research and explore and create something related to what interests them. So if they're into spaceships, that you might be able to have them create a model of a spaceship or use tactile materials to draw or create a picture of a spaceship. If they're into grocery shopping, you could have them speak to a grandparent on the phone to find out what it was like for them to go grocery shopping when they were young and then have them write about it. And the thing that I used to do, now I don't typically teach children because I'm a rehab specialist, so an ILS instructor basically. But one activity that my clients always found really fun is I would tell them about AMI. So this is Accessible Media Inc. They have lots of programs that are of interest to the blindness community. And so you can find programs that are of interest. And that could be a good way for students. They're for different levels, depending on what you're watching. And find something that your students can learn about activities of daily living or assistive technology or Braille or whatever it is. And then use that as a launch pad to either have them write something or talk about what they learned. I also always encourage family members to check out AMI because it's a good way for them to raise awareness, to gain awareness of blindness-related skills and activities. There are lots of organizations that are hosting webinars, a DAISY Consortium, but also Hadley School for the Blind. So Hadley recently had a webinar on Fun with Braille that we posted the whole recording on our BLC Facebook page. DAISY hosted a workshop on how to create accessible content for students in higher education. That could be really useful for any age, really. So check out our Facebook page for that as well. One resource that I'm sure many of you have heard about is the Virtual Expanded Core Learning Academy. This is a collaboration with Perkins and APH, American Printing House, and Cal State University. And what they're doing is they have qualified TVIs who provide virtual sessions each day that you can, you and your students can join by Zoom on a whole bunch of different topics, like how to express your feelings and how to communicate with others and Braille literacy and all kinds of ECC related concepts. And they try to make it useful regardless of what age. I mean, they're trying their best to kind of make it applicable for all student levels. And they have their schedule online, and we've been posting those updates on our Facebook page. So that could be a really good resource for parents and children to know about. Lots of authors are posting their readings of the reading children's books online as well. So we've been posting links to those resources as well. So what I think I'll do, because I know Daphne has some great ideas as well, is I'll stop here. But once we're done, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Hi, everyone. Thanks, Natalie. And I'm going to just pick up right where you left off. Really, we need, when we're thinking about Braille, we're thinking about Braille reading. And I think we want our children to make sure that they're still continuing developing those Braille reading skills. But let's take it apart a little bit and remember that a big part of Braille reading is reading. And when we think about reading, we're thinking about phonics, that relationship between letters and sounds. We're thinking about phonemic awareness, about how those sounds go together to make words. We're thinking about vocabulary and comprehension. And just those four parts, and fluency as well, those five key fundamentals of reading, all of those we can be working on over and above the Braille, because we can be modeling fluency. We can be checking in for understanding of comprehension. We can be talking about sounds and sound relationships between letters and sounds within words. So all that can keep moving ahead, building those fundamental skills that we need for Braille reading. Well, we can play a lot of games to keep the Brailling going. I know for our young students, we're really worried because TVIs need to be hands-on with the kids. And many families do not have the background in Braille to provide some of those fundamental Braille skills that we're stressing about having them learn. What families can do is really focus in on the reading part of things. And while they're doing that, I have some ideas around games that anybody can do with their child. So I'm going to start with getting ready for reading. We want to make sure to encourage parents to make sure that their child is seated comfortably. And if they have a Braille book in front of them, that Braille book isn't flopping around on their lap, but is sitting firmly on a table, and that their little feet aren't swinging in the midair, but that they're solidly resting on a something. Let's talk about warming up our fingers. Play finger games such as open them, shut them, give a little clap. There are lots and lots of finger play games on the internet. But specifically, you might want to encourage your families to really look at those two little hands and think about identifying our dots 1 to 6. So starting with the left hand, left pointer, taking that little finger, saying number one is so much fun. Number two, how do you do? Number three, come and play with me, and so on. And go jump to the other right hand and go from your right pointer, middle, and ring finger. Singing your full song through, reinforcing that those fingers have an important role to creating Braille on the Brailler. Think about talking about those, going back to those dots and reinforcing the the six dots with your child. Get out a 6-cup muffin tin, and if you don't have one of those handy, cut an egg carton down in half and get your six dots there. Fill the spaces either with a tennis ball or a ping pong ball, depending on the size, or even a marble, and take turns making mystery letters. So orient that little six container in front of the child. So number one would be in your top left, number four in your top right. And you can take turns making a mystery letter, moving the balls around. Have your child make a letter, and they can also do that. Take it a step further. What sound did that letter make? Can you think of a word that comes from that sound? And then maybe you want to try, I think, if you haven't got the muffin tin in front of you, you can play thinking of. I'm thinking of a letter that has dots 1 and 3. Can you name my letter? Take turns and go play it around the table as you're having a snack. One of my students, I said to her, every time you eat, you need to do Braille. And Braille can happen while you're eating, while you're thinking about making a sandwich, just by putting that Braille into context. Thinking about a word game that you can play. A child would start, the child says, I'm thinking of letter E, so then it's your turn as a parent or as a sister or a brother, you add another letter to that. So you might add a G, and then the sister adds a G, and they've got the word egg. Let's sound that word out. So circling back again to those fundamental parts of reading. Okay, we've got our children warming up with their fingers. We've got them thinking about sounds. Let's take it up a notch for them to start learning some of the Braille code and really reinforcing things like whole word contractions, singing the song to the tune of the ABC song. A is A and B is But, C is Can and D is Do, E is Every, and so on. So you can see how you can reinforce that Braille reading just through a song. Thinking about the child's Braille knowledge of the letter. Again, as I was saying, you can do games with a muffin tin or at the table with guessing what are the letter dots for letter or number. But also, let's do daily letter fun. Choose a letter, start with a sound, let's say it's letter B, and then let's find some words that start with that B sound. Put a magnetic letter on the fridge or a special spot in the house that has that letter B. Find 4 things in the house that starts with your letter. And then let's go to one of your Braille books and see if we can find any of those dots, 1, 2, those letter Bs. Can we find them at the beginning of the word or at the end of a word? If your child has a Brailler at home, that's a great time to bring it out and practice Brailling that daily letter. Some of my families have used letter buckets, so you end up with 26 buckets. So that's a month's worth of activity right there every day if you chose a letter and went through and created a bucket with things in it that start with that, the letter of the day. Another thing for really reinforcing Braille knowledge is just air Brailling on the table, Brailling on a real Brailler. If hopefully all our kids have Perkins at home, but some of them may not. And so air Brailling does work. And that is something that we can do with our kids where we're with their fingers on the table, 3 fingers out, and having them practice finger isolation. It's so important. Building finger strength is really something that we want our kids to do. There is a handout that you'll get after that has some ideas around that, but just even making Play-Doh together. It's a great activity. It feels so great when it comes out of the warm, out warm from the saucepan, and you can knead it, and then you can start just playing with the Braille, playing with the Play-Doh and using it to practice things like cutting skills and shape identification and that sort of thing. But I'm going to jump back into another really practical idea. You have your buckets with your daily letter fund, but then another great thing is to encourage families to put together a do-it box. A do-it box is something that you can actually a bunch of activities in, but things that we really want our children to work on is, again, that finger isolation, basic cutting skills, patterning, lacing, things that really are using fingers and in a purposeful, meaningful way. So usually what I have a family do is put together the five activities. So in the box, you pull out the first activity of the day. It might be your pair of scissors and some strips of paper. And your job is to make five tickets, and everybody in the family gets a ticket. So that is a single cut. We're just really wanting children to do a single cut. Build that up into giving them a recipe card with a bold line traced on it to cut along, or if need be, highlight that bold line using a sewing tracing wheel to give the bumps to it, and encouraging that child to cut along the line and follow it, making it a really simple cut initially and building up to something that would be curvy and then might be complex enough to have a right angle in it. Another way to do a quick raise up is to put puffy paint over a line, to use that as the guide for cutting along. Puffy paint can be homemade. There's a recipe in your handouts that will tell you how to do that. Another thing in our do it box would be practicing patterning. And patterning is so important with our reading skills, and it can be done with either foam stickers or colored stickers, or even if you have the use of a brailler, doing patterns of letters with a space between, creating a pattern and encouraging the child to finish off that pattern. So pattern practices, you give them a card with the start and you have them finishing it off. Lacing is another great activity for really developing that in and out, over and around, some basic concepts that we want to reinforce with our kids. And there's commercial lacing cards, of course, but if you have a hole punch and a sturdy piece of cardboard and a shoelace, you're good to go. I usually put a piece of duct tape around or masking tape around the end of the shoelace to give it something a little firmer to go in and out with. Another thing is to do a glue and go activity, and glue and go can be anything really, giving children a set of either letters or words that have been brailled or are in large print, and there is a pair and they are given a container with all the pairs mixed up, and they are to pull them out and put them into their pairs glued on the page. And if possible, and it is a help to the child, get one of the purple glue sticks so that there's a bit of contrast on the paper for the child when they go to glue. And then shape it, play it. And that again, something that is more commercially made, a play craft thing for a child to use. So another idea that might be fun for kids is to do go fish. And again, I'd like to use a fishing rod. So get a bucket or a garbage can or even a ice cream pail. Get a garden stake if you don't have one of those, a ruler, tie a string on the end of it. On the end of the string, put a magnet, and in your bucket, use paper clips on the shapes, and you are going fishing for words either to match up, or you can also make simple sentences. So you might drop the three words or five words in the bucket, I can hop and skip, and you pull out all those words and create a sentence out of them. Braille Detective. This is something, again, that you can do without even fingertips on Braille, but I am thinking of 3.5 words that give a location. Here, there, under. Talk about the time in the day. I'm thinking of 4 words that are Braille contractions that give us time in the day. And so maybe today, tomorrow, tonight, and afternoon. Or try brailing these great sentences. Just have more knowledge and know where a good friend can be found. How many Braille cells that were in that, and how many contractions did you find? So having fun with Braille, I think is really important. If your child has a Braille writer at home, we usually find that one of the trickiest things for families is loading paper. Now, there's a lot of really good YouTube videos on how to load paper, and I would really encourage you to get your families to watch them. There's a link on the handout that you'll be getting, but you can search yourself for those. So making sure, one, that the paper is in. People don't always have Braille paper at hand. Recipe cards from the dollar store, of course, are a great backup. And just sliding those margins at the back so we don't end up with Braille cells falling into the Brailler. So a lot of the time, our little youngsters are going to have a great deal of difficulty with their Brailler. And so often, getting parents to take the child for a ride so that the child's hands are on top of the adult's hands for a while, and then that slowly slipping from underneath and letting the child have the Brailler keys under their own fingertips is really important. One thing that you might want to start with, and I really love it when a child can Braille their own name, and because their name is probably the most powerful word that they're ever going to learn to Braille. And starting that with just getting to know the letters of their name in sequence to a song like Bingo. So I know a boy, his name is Tyler. Tyler is his name, O-T-Y-L-E-R. And really building in that E-R sign sound so that you get the contraction. So then try brailing the name and remembering your .6. Parents can braille with the child, or the child can work on that. And it works well for last names too. So then we really want to make sure our kids are reading. And if a parent is unable to read Braille and our child is at a point where they're not really reading Braille, but they understand that Braille exists on the page, we can still be fingertips to the page. So let's think about, what can they do with that book? What is their understanding of that bookness? So find the Braille on the front cover. Now look inside the book. Find the Braille inside the book. Find the page numbers, the top line of the text, the bottom line of the text, the last word on the Braille page. Maybe you want to count those lines of Braille on the page, or even find how many words are on the Braille each line and count them. And do you recognize any of those single letters? Talking about tracking with kids, it's important that we reinforce that smooth two-handed tracking from left to right. So again, children going for a ride on their parents' hands to reinforce that, and doing the full sweep to the right, back along the same line, down and left to right, back along the same line and down would be another way for it, just to keep that fluency going. And again, the parent does not need to read Braille, obviously, to do modeling, tracking. And we really want, even if the parent is reading aloud as they're doing that, they can be reading the print as the fingertips are going over the Brailler. Talking about going back to those fundamentals of reading, that sound, and letter relationship. Let's just think about developing good listening skills and playing games like I hear with my ear, where you're listening for four words and four sounds in and around us. So I can hear a sound that is a mechanical sound. It has a regular beat, and you can tap out the beat. What is it? And maybe it's the clock on the kitchen wall. Or I can hear a really loud sound that's coming from a hum. And you find that hum and locating where that sound is. So we're really developing some critical listening skills. And of course, we're going to play games like rhyming games. Let's rhyme all the words with way and all the words with day. And really building on that sound relationship for kids, because you've got to remember that reading is a really complex process. And when we pull it apart and look at the five components of that phonics, the letter sound, and then the phonetic, the letters, the sounds within words, and then the fluency and the comprehension and vocabulary, just don't forget that we can still be working on reading, even if we can't be working directly on Braille with the kids at the moment. So I think parents need to be really encouraged that there's lots they can be doing. Tracking can sometimes be boring. And again, as I had said, I encourage parents to model that with their child. Let's think about dice games that you can play as well, is taking turns with dice. You can use puffy paint to raise up the dots, and rolling the dice and finding the Braille number on the sheet. Like you could Braille out a lot of numbers, you roll the dice and you find the Braille number that corresponds with the number that you have found on your dice. So you were counting dice dots and then reading that Braille number. There are some other things here that I just wanted to jump into. Many of our students have really good usable vision that we want to make sure that they are really working the very best at developing critical, good-looking skills. And playing I Spy with a flashlight is a great game to play on, especially under a table with a tablecloth over top, and gluing things onto that table, the walls, taping shapes on the wall of your new home under the table, and using your flashlight to I Spy shapes, or I Spy story characters, or I Spy whatever you've put on the fake walls. You can play I Spy in books, either with commercially made ones, or again using your flashlight or maybe a handheld magnifier, you're I Spying certain shapes or colors or things along that line. Working again with scanning skills, critical looking from top to bottom, left to right. So one thing is playing What's Missing, and it's a great game, just using a tray and putting a few objects on it, and let's study what's on this tray, talk about the five things that are on it, hide the tray away, bring it back. Wow, something's missing. What is missing? So thinking again about really focusing on critical looking skills. And that tray can be used for building word and letter sound symbols. So maybe everything on your tray starts with the letter G. So let's think about how those different things sound with that letter G. And there's ways to reinforce, again, that sound symbol relationship with a game. Also remembering that some trays are kind of busy, so putting a solid black piece of paper underneath the objects, or a solid yellow piece of paper under the objects to give good contrast for our child, that might just be the cue they need. And again, working on patterning. So patterning can, as I said, can go with dollar store stickers and things like that, but we can do patterning with money. And great opportunity to practice coin identification and build some patterns with big, small, ones that are silver, ones that are silver with a bronze center in them, different kinds of things to do with money. And again, you can work in value and all that sort of stuff. Patterning, even with different shaped Lego pieces, or at snack time with crackers and cereal. Stringing beads. Now, so often for really, really young kids, stringing beads is frustrating because they fall off the end. Well, often what I'll do is I'll take three pipe cleaners and twist them together, put a bit of duct tape around one end to make that the sturdy end. On the other end, I kind of embed it in a square of cardboard and duct tape it down. And so when you go to bead on, you come up against that square cardboard, so they're not falling off the end. And also when you have three pipe cleaners together, it gives that nice rigid feel, so the child can then count up that pattern or count up the number of blocks. Books. Every opportunity to create books at home. There's so many things we could do. I love the bucket book. I take a bucket out into the backyard, put 5 things, 10 things in the bucket, bring your bucket in home, and now you've got the basis of your bucket. In my bucket, I found 1 stick, four feathers, 2 green leaves, 1 yellow flower. Build your book with the context out of the bucket. You can put anything in that bucket. You could even... What I've used sometimes is dollar store, the really small albums that people would put pictures in. You can use those little cellophane packages for dropping in your bucket items. So you can put the Braille on a card on the inside, or you could put a Braille sticker on the outside with what you've put in your little pocket, so you can have pocketbooks using those dollar store photo albums. Another thing that can be you can make a book out of is shapes. You got 8 basic shapes. There's 8 books right there that each shape, each book can be a shape. And again, you can add Braille or large print to that if you have a Braille labeler. Parents can do it that way if the child's able to do Brailing. They can build their book, but again, they can just build it out of shapes. It's a great opportunity. Colors, again, we've got so many colors. You could build a book on that. All about me. There's nobody more important than this child. And so putting their first name on the letter of the outside of the book, and then page one might be all the things that start with the same letter as my name that I know. So if the boy's name's Derek, Dad, Doggy, Digger, Doll, those kind of things. Or maybe it's a book I live on and the street and their phone number and my favorite place to go is. Those simple books are so easy to add onto, and that takes us to the Braille, simple Braille contraction, whole word contraction books, I can books, I do, I will, using those repeated lines. So I can hop, I can skip, I can jump, having the child again practice their reading because they've got that repeated line to begin, and then they can start memorizing and sounding out the words that follow. Another thing to do with our low vision kids are an outside activity. It's getting warmer out. Even just putting a bucket or a little child swimming pool out and going out with some water and finding things in the bucket or dropping them into the pool, and again working from the sides, just picking them up and fishing them out. One of the things that we used to do is taking a chair, putting it backwards, putting the bucket at the back of the chair, and then dropping from above and in and hearing for the big splash. So that's kind of a fun thing for kids to do. Dot to dots using can be made on just regular dot to dot books, but enlarging the dots, putting some tactile bumps on them, and helping the child go from the large print numbers to filling up their dot to dots. I think pretty well, you probably have questions, and I'm rambling on and on. There's so much here. Go ahead if people have questions, sorry.
So Daphne, I'm just going to jump in for a second. Not sure if you had a chance to notice. That was awesome. Thank you. It was quite fascinating to me to learn about all the options of things that parents and TVIs can do. Somebody did post a question in the chat, so I don't know if you can access that. If you can see that.
No, I can't. Sorry. Okay. Oh, wait a minute. Yes, I can.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Oh, yes,
so I responded and said that people could put things in the chat as well. I just kind of said, hey, yeah, Daphne will answer your questions. So you can put things in the chat, or as we mentioned earlier, anyone, you can raise your hand as well. And we will get to as many of the questions and comments as we have time for.
Yeah, I see Tracy's written up that there's a great video for modeling tracking. And yes, that's such a good go-to. It's encouraging parents to go to videos, because there's videos about, well, everything out there. And that's a really great resource. Thanks, Tracy. Good idea.
Were you asking Tracy if there is one, or were you posting a resource? It looked to me like a question, but
there is one out there. There okay. is one. And I will find the link for you, because I have seen it. So I will send it.
Yeah. Okay. She was asking. Sorry. I just wanted to make sure. I'm like, maybe I read it wrong, but yeah. I think she's asking. So if you're able to find that.
Yep. I'll send it out.
Yeah. That would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. I think that's really important. Sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. People can, unmute yourself if you do have a question. If you want to raise your hand, it's alt live on the phone. I don't know if I'm just seeing if there's any more phone numbers on here. On the phone, it's *9, and there's no more phone numbers that called in on the number. So on your iPhone, or smartphone, it's under more, or if you tap on yourself in the participant list, you can do that.
We have a follow-up question from Lori asking if we can email the link. Yes. Daphne, if you have one.
Yep, I will.
We can add that to the resources. We are sending out all of the ideas that Daphne has been talking about. We're sending out quite a few handouts right after this, so we can add those videos, or any video you'd like to, we've been talking about.
Lori, I believe you had invited one of your colleagues. I don't have that contact information, so if you could forward that on, that would be great. Thank you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Or if anyone has resources that you'd like us to know, you can mention those too.
Perkins has, Daphne, maybe you know what I'm talking about, but they have a whole bunch of videos that they post on their website. Mm-hmm. And they probably have things about, reading strategies and things like that. And I don't remember what they call them. They're really short videos. Like, they have longer ones as well, but they have kind of like videos that are a minute or two long where they just provide a quick teaching tip.
Okay, so Tracy,
so I can look
Tracy,
into
we'll
that,
make sure that
and
you
add
get, the resources.
Yes, definitely.
Thank you.
Tracy has to work with a student. That's awesome. I mean, it's so fascinating for people like me. I learned Braille when I was 6. I'm sure Jen also and Natalie, we learned Braille when we were young, and I had no idea all these things, ways that people would have taught me things. I don't remember that. I just remember learning it. So it's really awesome to know. I don't see any others. Does anyone else see any?
I think at this point, too, if anybody wants to just unmute yourself and ask a question, that's probably fine, too.
Yeah.
Questions or comments?
Alt-A, or you can click the button.
Yes. I could unmute everyone, too.
Oh, hi, everybody. It's Marian Meyer. I'm a TSVI out of Regina.
Hi, Marian.
Hi.
I don't have any questions. I just want to thank you so much for being here and offering all of your expertise. It's really, really nice to just touch base and to be part of the community and to get some refreshers on things that we can do, especially in this weird state of affairs we're in. We're working as a team of TSVIs here. Dwyla, Tracy, Pam, and I are trying to do the best we can and be as creative as we can. And sometimes you kind of feel like you're on a bit of an island. So this has been really nice. Thanks very much.
Yeah. And I guess the other thing I would say is that we also have a lot of us, and myself and Jen and Natalie included, who are Braille users, adult Braille users, who know about the Braille displays and electronic and how to use Braille with JAWS. And, you know, so if your students are at home too, and you have any questions about using certain devices, and well, I mean, even when you do get back to school, we have resources like that too, where we have people who use these things all the time, or use Braille screen input on our iDevices, or use, you know, all of these things that we use. We're always here for you for those too.
Well, and I also don't want to put her on the spot, but Betty.
Yes,
who is on this call,
who also has raised in the chat, she's highlighted a really good resource called Path to Literacy, which is actually a website that Perkins runs, and it has tons of great resources. So thanks for mentioning that one, Betty. And I just thought of another resource that some of you may not have seen in the past few weeks, and that's the CNIB Braille Writing Contest. It's currently accepting submissions. So if you have kids of different ages who want to write something for that, this could be a great time for them to do that while they're at home.
Well, one thing I was going to say, I don't want to put Betty on the spot, but Betty is also a teacher, and she's a Braille user as well.
She's a good person.
She would be a great person. Again, I don't want to speak for you, Betty, but she would be a great person to get in touch with.
Yeah, definitely. I
don't mind you putting me on the spot, and I'd be very glad to help in whatever way I can. And I'm always available for a quick email or phone call or whatever, of course.
Awesome. Thanks, Betty.
I think, too, for families that don't know, have a lot of Braille knowledge, directing them to the Braille Bug AFB's website is really a good resource, because then they can have some interactive play on the computer with Braille and get some of that basic knowledge that they can share with their child.
Braille games.
I don't know.
Daphne, I think having these resources, like almost all of the resources that you described, could be done with a sibling as well in the family, even in print. And that's what's so fun and neat about them. So parents, if they have two children to occupy that are, you know, like 6 and 4 or 7 and 5 or whatever, or even the older Braille using child could play the game with a younger child, and, you know, things like that. So I just think there's some great ideas there for fun things for kids to do.
So true.
That's great. Yeah. I don't know how some of you may find this useful, but it just occurred to me, Braille Blaster. It's Braille Blaster. .org. It's a software designed by the American Printing House, and it's free, and you can download it. And it's a transcription software. If your child or your student has, especially if they have a Braille device and you want to take files and kind of play with them. It's fairly intuitive. If you're somewhat comfortable in, you know, something like Word, you can kind of play with it and you'll do a, you know, a decent job, and you can create a BRF file that the students can use. So if that helps anybody.
That's a great idea. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's very easy to use Braille Blaster. I think the other thing too is that, you know, we often read stories to our children. But if our children are learning to be Braille readers, you know, maybe a child can read a story to a parent or a grandparent or an auntie mm-hmm. or someone else as well.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Mm-hmm. I used to love doing that when I was a kid because people were reading to me. And so as soon as I could read and had books, I wanted to read to people all the time.
Yeah. And I love to write stories and then read them to the sighted people because they could. Well, actually, our parents both. All of us, I think, our parents did learn Braille. So I also encourage you to tell the parents, if they're at home and they want something to do, to maybe start learning Braille, or siblings, you know, other people to join, you know, in and learn it. Because I think it's really great if our families do learn it too.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, it was my birthday last week and my mom couldn't see me. But she could Braille my card when she dropped it off.
Yeah, my mom still does that too. And when I was in university, my mother used to, my parents occasionally would send care packages and she put labels on everything.
Yeah, so, my mom too.
Or Braille me notes in your lunchbox.
Yeah.
Or Braille me recipes. Like when I first started cooking like on my own in university, she would Braille me recipes and give them to me and stuff. So it really is great.
It's good when you can involve other people, like Betty was saying. Like I know when I was very young, like my TVI had me, like helped me create Valentine's Day cards for everyone in my class. And obviously that doesn't work right now because everyone's home, but finding ways to, because you really feel proud, you know, as a young child to be able to do that. And then all the other students think it's the coolest thing ever. So those kinds of activities that involve other people are always lots of fun.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of just sort of a side note. I know we've been mostly talking about activities, but one of the things we hear a lot is that, you know, there can be a stigma with Braille. It can, you know, have like a negative connotation, but I always found growing up, everybody just thought it was cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I find I almost have the opposite reaction of like, okay, I don't want everybody to think this is so cool. I'm just reading, okay? So I guess I just, you know, putting that out there is something to think about, that it's really, I never found reading Braille to be a stigma.
No. My mom called it our secret language, and then I thought that was awesome because like we have it. Yeah.
With Easter coming up, one of my students had an Easter egg hunt with her family a couple of years ago, and the family hid cell phones around the room, and then they activated the ring on the cell phone. That's where
high tech.
My mom used to Braille clues for me because I wouldn't be able to find like the eggs like necessarily like under the table or whatever.
Right.
There were a series of Braille clues in the house. It was like, would be like a riddle or a clue or something. And at the end was the basket of stuff. So I had to do all my clues before I got, you know, my candy.
That's
good. Gotta work for it.
Yeah. Real hook.
Yeah. And that way our dog didn't get chocolate that would have been missed or something. You know, so it was good.
The Braille Superstore sells like you can make chocolate bars with like Braille messages. They sell the actual they have like different frames, like they have like friends and Merry Christmas and I don't know, like different holidays and things like that. So you can have Braille
like
messages. Yeah, it's a mold. That's the word I was thinking of.
Is the Braille, like, can you really feel it? Like, I've never had one of those.
Yeah, you really can. And so that could be fun for kids too, or really anyone.
Yeah.
You can have Braille messages on your chocolate and then you could eat your chocolate.
Can I just ask
for a moment. This is Lori speaking. We're all wondering who the BLC Braille Literacy Canada people are, because all it says is that it's just an icon and we can't either see you.
Okay.
So for us,
there's kind of newbies, two of us. And
sorry to interrupt, though.
No, there's two of us. My name, the one that's speaking now, we're both signed in as BLC, but my name is Kim Kilpatrick. I live in Ottawa. I'm totally blind since birth with ROP. And
sorry, Kim, might want to put your video on, because I think people want to see you.
Oh, okay. I got to remember. Just a minute. I got to figure out how to do it.
It's on the bottom. It's Betty. Yeah. I just put mine on. But I
will put mine on very
far away
briefly.
Or how close to put the
I'm gonna
camera
I don't know how far away to be from the camera. I don't usually put it on.
How nice to see you,
not
Betty.
Not too far. You can
Hi,
see
Lori.
Me.
Hi, Betty.
I'm Jen.
Last night somebody was saying they could see my hands and my chin, but I was using my laptop last night.
I can't access my camera because I have to go into settings, so I'm really sorry.
And I'm sorry, Kim. I
can't
either.
I deactivated
it. Yeah, I deactivated it because
I'm sorry. Blind folks tend to just use audio. So,
but this is, but we this know is that Natalie. People
that like to see real people.
Yes.
I just wanted to do the video thing. I work from home and my. So we've been using Zoom for quite a while, and I'm not going to lie. I have attended the occasional morning meeting in my pajamas, and at work, we actually don't use a video. Like, I'm the only blind person that works in my company. We rarely ever use it. So,
we can do like a quick roll call just so people know our voices.
Yeah.
So
I just turned mine on.
Okay. Mine is like in settings.
Mine is in settings. I can't go and figure it out, but I don't. The other thing too is that it takes a lot more bandwidth. So at the moment, I could go to settings and see. The other thing I wondered, I forget if you mentioned this or not, were the Braille, the pictures, what do you call that? The Braille pictures, you know that book that has all the Braille that you can make on the Perkin?
Pictures. Oh yeah, that's from
Perkin. Yeah.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. So that's also something we can send. So there's a book that's freely available online that gives instructions on how you can create different drawings with your Brailler. So that's
awesome.
Yeah, that's a lot of fun. So we can add that to the resources we send to everyone. This is Natalie speaking.
And next time we'll put our videos on.
I'm actually going to turn mine off now that you've seen my lovely office.
Did they see your lovely dog?
You know what? I have to move my chair in order for, because he often lays behind me. I have a yellow lab. And I try to get him to sit up and look at the laptop screen sometimes. And I shift it and he's like, what are you doing to me?
Interrupting my sleep.
Yeah, pretty much.
Julia,
do we have any other questions or comments?
Oh, Julia. Hello. Hello, Julia. Yes.
If you come up with comments or questions after the fact, just email the info@blc-lbc.ca at the email that you registered with, and I check that. So either I will answer it or I will forward it to somebody who knows more than I do. This is Jen speaking.
Yes.
Yes, someone who knows
definitely. we'll send all of this shortly after the session. But I don't know, I found that very helpful, Daphne. You're very creative with all your ideas.
Awesome. Thank you for that.
Yeah. We hope that it's been helpful to everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We thank all of you for what you do, because we wouldn't be where we are without you guys, really.
Yes. So I see some people need to leave. Yeah. I just wanted to very quickly say, for those of you who are BLC members or thinking of becoming one soon, we're going to be, we've announced this already, but just as a reminder, we're going to be holding our AGM virtually through Zoom on May 9th at 11:30 a.m. Eastern Time. So in the next few days, You'll get a reminder about that with instructions on how to register to get the Zoom info. So just stay tuned for that. But if you'd like to know more about BLC, just contact us and we'll give you that info. But that AGM will be taking place on May 9th, which is a Saturday.
The reason it's a little bit early, especially for those of you on the West Coast, is because we have to have a board meeting afterwards. So that's why we have to kind of start a little bit earlier.
But you can attend in your pajamas if you like.
Exactly.
We won't look.
Nobody needs to know. So thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you,
Natalie and Daphne, for all your great information, and Kim for your stellar moderating.
Well, thanks for jumping in for me. Yeah, thanks
for joining. We will be in touch with you all. We will send you these resources shortly, and you know where to find us.
Yes.
Thank you. It was awesome.
Thank you, everyone.
Stay safe.
Okay, bye.